Chapter 14, The Shortlist.
Skola Psychana Security Incident Report. Downtime alert. A code red has been declared on Sanctionite Silver of Class 1137 Lima. Apprehend and detain until further notice. Target location, Skola Psychana Tramway Station. The proctor on call was notified. Security forces and Sisters of the Abyss were deployed.
Guided by a twisting dagger of shame, I ran for the Overhive exit, hoping to make it back to the Skola as downtime began. I'd thought of myself as living proof that the marks of a warp witch didn't have to be a death sentence, but that was turning out to be a lie. I'd defeated Han's minion, the warp entity known as Silgaemon the Gravedancer, but the remaining scars on my soul felt like they were ever present, and their echoes were growing in magnitude with each passing day. Pointing this out to an Inquisitor of Ordo Hereticus was purely imbecilic, and so was my attempt to flee. But what else could I do? I'd take my chances below, far from the grieving eyes of Lord Sindar Kilhaven and his noble family. The official response came quicker than I'd expected. I exited the service lift in Ground Zero as the sector alarm rang out and did my best to walk, not run, to the nearest tramway. I was heading back into the burrow that was Skola Psychana, and the tram car seemed to agree. It slammed its doors and shot off to the south. A single stop later, I scrambled out and rushed for the station's exit under the mask of a hasty auric cloak. The sound of boots came pounding down the entrance ramp, and I leaped over the handrail on my right. Grasping the edge of the conveyor with one hand, I dangled in the air and waited for the Hellgun parade with its accompanying null bubbles to pass me by. I barely kept my grip as the null effect trounced me and wiped away my psychic reserves. My body had more healing to do before gymnastics were added to my list of allowable activities, and I hoped I hadn't torn apart something important. Pulling a clean silver dose of energy from Starfire, I recloaked, bending the light around me, and struggled back over the rail. From there, it was a race to the top and the lightly guarded exit. My personal veil did the trick. Slipping clear, I veered around the nearest corner and into a poorly lit alley. I had a long list of names and a reason to corner each person on it, but I was about to be run to ground. That left only two options. I chose based on my need to connect rather than resolve anything. I was near enough to the Temple of the Ecclesiarchy that I could pass by one of its side entrances and leave a short anonymous message with the gate guards before rushing onward. The pair on hand laughed when I told them I was looking for a date with a Sister of the Abyss, but they promised to pass on my invitation, not realizing that I was the night's rabbit on the run. Neutral 02 wasn't as quiet as usual. Another class had recently been installed in the HAB. Not yet having found their way into a clan, they huddled in the basement dining hall, sharing their angst as I stormed in. Add in the fact that the downtime bell had scarcely passed, and I was facing 10 seriously twitchy psychers. A young man stood up, offering me his warmest greeting.
"Who the feth are you?"
He seemed to be about 16 and ready to toss me out of the hall. Nobody at his table thought to hold him back. "I'm Silver, and you?"
"Kane."
I pulled an emergency dose from Starfire and powered up my shield. His aura was a strong purple and pleasing to the touch as he gave me a telekinetic shove back. "Don't be rude." I grasped the discharge of kinetic energy and channeled it into a nearby table, ripping the bolts out of the plascrete floor and flipping it onto the next. "The coffee in here is bad enough." It was his turn to step back.
"What do you want?"
"Nothing. Is that everybody in your class?"
"Yes."
"Good. Stick together and join a clan. You'll be fine."
"Silver?"
Mercy came storming through the dining room's only door. I couldn't help it. "Oh, Feth. It's one of Delia's crew."
"Delia Barmacet?"
said the group's enforcer. "You've met her?" Kane wiped his chin involuntarily.
"We all have."
"Then you'd best hope this one lets you leave with your dinner intact. I've met her before. She's the meanest of them all." I pointed to the door and silently pleaded for Mercy to give them room. She took a seat far enough from the door to let the others get by. Barely. I backed farther away from the Null Sister and parked, waiting for the door to finally close. I placed my hands flat on the table before me, hoping that they wouldn't shake and ruin my night further.
"Making new friends?"
"We both know better than that."
"And yet you've invited me on a date."
There it was, the dimple in all its glory, distracting me from the sheen of her upper lip. Feth. I couldn't look away. I did.
Why?
I meant to explain that I felt confused and haunted, that everything I did or said was a reason for the authorities to end my existence, and that she was the only one at Skola Psychana that I could truly trust. But it came out all wrong. So you can watch as they shoot me dead. Okay, I hadn't meant to go there, at least not right out of the lift, but my past was rapidly catching up with me, and she'd chosen her duty over my sternum and the organs behind it. Mercy's expression plummeted, and the dimple disappeared. She stood up with a hand across her stomach and walked out the door. No matter what they say, Peric Silver is as smooth as they come. I gently banged my head on the table until Delia Bar-Masset walked in wearing a far more severe face than Mercy. I hopped up and backpedaled away, shedding my excess energy into Starfire and dropping my shields before they were ripped away. Delia stopped halfway across the room.
I told her you weren't worth it, but Mercina wouldn't listen.
It was my turn to ask, not worth what?
Not worth throwing her life away.
Delia took a seat and pointed to a distant chair for me.
Do you know why we're called the Sisters of the Abyss?
I had several guesses, and she had a laser pistol on her hip. I kept my mouth shut and shook my head.
We're recruited from the orphanages in the lowest reaches of the hive cities on every planet. It's a strategy that works remarkably well for finding the psychic blanks, the nulls, as many like to call us. As Sisters of the Abyss, our common lack of heritage and adherence to duty bind us together. We crave the magnetism that so many of you psychers like to flaunt, but the abyss is where we started, not where we'll end. You, on the other hand, find yourself isolated in this jungle that many call a Skola, and your path runs entirely toward the edge of oblivion. For that, I pity you, but I won't excuse your abuse of one of mine.
And yet you did, when you let her star in Commissar Belling's latest production. Mercy has a soul as much as the next person, and it was abused in that night's raw exchange.
You were all abused, and for no good reason. I'll grant you that. The event nearly cost me both acolytes. Know that Trasker Belling will be whipped for his behavior.
I didn't ask how or if I could watch. Did the Commissar say why he did it?
The Commissar is a professional. His cruelty is measured for maximum effect.
Please tell Mercy that I'm sorry for what I said earlier. It's been a stressful night. I didn't mention that the stress was all my fault. Delia laughed aloud.
Stressful is Lord Kilhaven breathing fire down my neck, hoping that I intercept his latest prodigy before the young man sticks his head in the mouth of a witch.
I looked around the dining room. No witches here at the moment, though I'm suitably intimidated by your presence.
You will wait here while I report our success.
With that, Delia left the building. Mercy soon returned, taking her chapter master's spot. My anger had fled with Delia's explanation and her obvious understanding of my earlier plight. Mercy had never been given a chance to explain what she thought of the situation. I got up and moved one table closer to my nemesis. I'm bone sorry for what I said earlier.
From what I've heard, not all of your bones are genuine.
She made a good point. My heart isn't even the original, but it is true, I said.
What the feth does that mean?
It means that I've starred in harsher videos than Trasker Belling's and lived to tell the tale. My hands trembled, so I hid them beneath the table.
Why the code red on you tonight?
Would you believe it if I told you that my mouth can get me into trouble? Somehow that admission coaxed her dimple back into the room, but she knew there was more. Mercy crossed her arms and waited in silence for the punchline. Dean Kilhaven might be worried that I'll do something foolish. I'm hunting for a witch in Skola Psychana.
Isn't every student here a witch?
Not entirely, I thought. I never said it would be an easy hunt, but it would be far less dangerous with you around.
Who broke you?
What?
Nobody here has ever asked me out on a date, and no psyker would be that insane. Why did you?
I like your face, it matches your name, and I feel like I can trust it. I mean you. I liked her eyes and lips, leaving the dimple for later. I felt overwhelmed by the merest hint of a smile on her face. Mercy moved one table closer, but she didn't sit down. Instead, she removed a necklace from her pocket. The collar was easily as ugly as mine, and placed it around her neck.
Delia loaned me this. She said I could borrow it whenever I wanted.
What is it?
Why don't you come over here and find out?
Her anticipation was palpable as she tucked a lock of black hair behind her ear. "Are you sure?" She answered by pressing a switch on her newfound necklace. It shimmered to life. While psykers have collars to monitor or divert our warp energies, nulls have rare devices to counteract their missing auras. My final step forward ended with my mouth pressed to Mercy's and my arms holding her tight. Her collar wasn't perfect, and through it all, I could feel a part of me slipping away. Still, I was sliding down a hill rather than tumbling over the unguarded edge of a service shelf. Beneath Mercy's emptiness lived an endless hunger, and I offered what little I could to the God force that defined her. A quick knock on the dining room door ended our embrace for the night. Delia brought word that Lord Kilhaven was anxiously awaiting my safe return. She would follow us at a suitable distance for the short trip home. That I was traveling beyond the Scola's grounds didn't seem to surprise her at all. Trekking back across the sector and past the compound of the Ecclesiarchy, we rounded the corner opposite the tramway. The entrance was well lit and guarded by a pair of hellguns, each wearing a strikingly familiar glowing golden crown. My stomach fell as they opened fire. These weren't assassins. They were bespelled executioners, and I was devoid of protection as they raised their weapons. I grabbed Mercina and sprinted for the corner behind us, flinching as the first shot screamed out. As we reached cover, the structure exploded outward, knocking us flat. Delia Barmacet arrived, her presence draining me further and stealing my one chance to recover. Before I knew it, Mercy had me pinned to the ground in an expert hold while Delia worked her way past the rubble-strewn corner. "Don't kill them," I yelled. "The guards are being compelled." Delia Barmacet waited until the two were in range and sprang forward. In seconds, she was back, dusting off her bodysuit and flexing her right hand. Her blank aura had sapped whatever spell had been driving the guards' aggression, and she'd taken advantage of their sudden confusion to subdue them with all the pent-up aggression of a sister of the abyss. I begged Mercy for my release, and Delia for some space. Delia had a better idea. She told us to follow and took off running for the tramway entrance. Giving Delia a small head start, we ran past the unconscious guards and down the entrance ramp as more shots rang out ahead. Those were short-lived, and an empty tram car waited for us at the bottom. Two more guards were down, and neither would be getting up again. Mercy joined me for the ride out of Scola Sicana, while Delia backtracked in a bid to find and clear more tainted guards. She shouted orders into thin air as the tram doors slammed shut and the car shot away from the station. Mercy seemed overwhelmed by the unconventional threat. She was made to stop psykers, not laser guns.
What if there are more waiting at the next stop?
The tainted guards had been blocking our way out. Someone or something didn't want me leaving the campus. You make a good point. Stay here. Mercina still wore the miracle necklace. It allowed me to take a seat one row away and still function. I pulled in more silver energy from Starfire and launched out of my seat, blazing into the station ahead. Two more pairs of tainted guards waited on the platform, covering the exits. I consumed the spell that drove them and knocked each one unconscious as our car arrived. The pattern seemed different, more refined, like Locadio Rink, but better. In the same way that I'd caught Kane's telekinetic shove, I held the raw yellow-gold energy in place, not allowing it to be subsumed by the silver energy that roamed inside of me. I opened my eyes to see Mercy staring back from across the aisle. "You were right," I said. "There were four more. The station is clear, but I need you to lead our way out."
"Peric, your eyes. They've turned to gold."
"Please don't let anyone touch me until I say it's okay. If you hear my safe word, take off that necklace and hit me with everything you've got."